So history, John, did I find the right one? On some of the stuff's on Raglan 23's website, but is this part one you've got on your screen?
Yeah, because it came out in three parts on Raglan 23, so if people are interested in looking, look for 1923 history on Raglan 23. Each year I've been writing a summary of what happened in the year that was coming up. Interestingly, I also thought that I might take an easy way of doing next year's and actually get artificial intelligence to do it. So I put it into one of the artificial intelligence programs and said, what happened in Raglan in 1924? And it said, nothing significant happened in Raglan in 1924.
you've got to like ask more questions. And you say, I don't believe that's the case. Try harder. And you often do get a more of a detailed answer.
Okay, maybe I should have persisted with it.
Yeah, persist. Because you could say there is information that you can access. Yeah. You talk to it like you're talking to a person.
You could probably say much the same about 1923 history, that nothing significant happened. But
probably. No, not to the rest of the world. Nothing like that was in the national press,
yes.
Probably. But
locally, there were quite a lot of changes, so... I think probably the most significant, again, going back to transport, is that we didn't end up with a railway, which would have made a very good cycle track.
Now, so there was a lot of talk about a narrow gauge railway, was it, going
over
the hill?
Yeah, it was probably going to be a 2-foot gauge railway, whereas the railways we've got in this country are generally 3'6".
That's teeny tiny. So this is in the early 20s. Well, they'd been talking about this for a decade or something by this point, had they? A railway?
It was first mentioned back in 1863.
Okay.
The Daily Southern Cross then said...
70 years.
The Raglan correspondent said that from Raglan Harbour, a road or railway could be made for 12 to 20 miles from a safe and commodious anchorage on one side to the level plains of promise in the interior.
Oh, wow.
It was written in the style of those days.
The level plains of promise. That's how they're describing the farming area around Hamilton.
Yeah. Because that was just when the wars were taking place and the invasion of the Waikato. So that was 1863.
Oh, wow. And what was the access then? Was it just a walk track?
Yes. It wasn't even a walk track until the army improved it. It was quite hard to find your way through, and quite a few people who had previously tried to find their way through got lost. And there was one party who took 17 days to get from the Waikato across to Raglan. So they got lost in the bush on the way. So our problems with State Highway 23 are nothing compared.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We should really stop moaning, shouldn't we? That's ridiculous. And so, but now we're in 1923. Was there a road? Was there a gravel road, or was it still a mud road?
It had just been completely gravelled the year before. So, 1922 was when they finished the gravelling on it. So
that must have seemed awesome.
And that they were then moving on to gravel some of the side roads. So they'd almost got as far as Tomata,
right?
And various other roads around were being gravelled as well. Quite a few of the main roads in the town were being gravelled.
But people were still thinking that a railway was the optimum solution.
Well, the problem was that they were getting heavier lorries that were coming through, trucks as we call them these days, they were breaking up the roads, and the councils were concerned that they were having to pay more and more to maintain the roads. So Raglan County Council took out a £4,000 loan to try and keep up with the repairs on the road.
When did there's a diesel tax, road user charge. I've never driven a diesel vehicle, so I don't know what the right phrase is.
But road user charges, yep.
That wasn't around at that point, obviously.
No. The government did introduce a tyre tax, so the idea was that the more you drove, the more you wore out your tyres, and therefore the tax on tyres was an idea.
Yeah.
It was only later that they introduced the petrol tax. There were also attempts by the councils to get money to pay for the roads from the people who were breaking them up. So the Raglan Council introduced a charge for trucks, the problem being that the magistrates who should have enforced those rules weren't very keen on them, because they were amongst the, I think there were about 1 in 20 people in those days had a car, and the magistrates were probably amongst those 1 in 20. So, as you were saying, it was ruled by the rich for the rich.
Right. Yeah.
And that they decided that the county council didn't have the, or that the, well, that their excuse for the one that they did take to court, or the one that I noticed they took to court, was that the magistrate said you can't prove that the carrier was actually plying for hire, which was the condition of charging the £50 that they wanted to charge for running a truck that was for hire.
You can't prove it, but there would be transactions recorded.
And well, apparently they didn't satisfy the magistrate. So,
yeah.
But I think it would have been very difficult to satisfy the magistrate. Yeah, the magistrate also talked about the county council not being represented by a solicitor, and grumbling that he was having to do the work that they county solicitor should have been doing. So generally he had it in for the county and was obviously not going to find in their favour, even though it seems a really weird decision. But and there were, that meant that the county lost that potential source of revenue, and that was one of, as you say, one of the reasons why they wanted a railway, because that would take the heavy traffic off the gravel roads.
So they wanted that, and they were talking about that 100 years ago, but when was the idea given up on?
Well, it was given up on in 1923, so that's why 1923 is significant.
Right.
Because there had been a series of petitions asking for a railway to Raglan. There were various routes proposed. Some would have come from Huntly, some from Frankton. And the one that they ended up with as a petition in 1920 was to bring a railway pretty much following Waitatuna Valley Road and coming around that way.
Okay.
There would have been a tunnel up at the top of Waitatuna Valley into the Fillory Valley.
Yeah.
As I say, it would have been this 2-foot gauge.
That would have changed. That would have made the harbour quite an important harbour.
Yep.
At that time, because the boats weren't that big either, so Raglan was still considered a viable harbour.
Yes, that's what they were saying. It would provide an outlet for Hamilton, rather better than the Waikato River.
Mm. Okay.
So that was the argument for it. The problem was that the government at the time was composed of people who weren't all that keen on railways, because railways were well organised as far as trade unions were concerned, whereas road hauliers weren't. And they'd had the Waterside strike, which they'd broken up a decade or so before. The government was keen to develop roads, and they passed the Highways Act in 1922, which provided for ratepayers and taxpayers to subsidise the roads. Whereas the railways, they're expecting them to pay a 3%, 3.25% return on their investment. So by that time, so much had been invested in the railways that about a quarter of the railway income was going back to the government in paying that interest. So
this difference
on the one hand, you had railways that were being charged a quarter of their earnings, and on the other hand, you had the roads that were being subsidised by taxpayers and ratepayers.
And that, so this has always been this way in this country, because we were just talking before about how, you know, we've got climate change, and if we get some public transport going and, you know, all that kind of thing, and the railways are obviously a part of that, there's still this attitude seems to be ingrained in New Zealand culture to favour the road, doesn't it?
I'm not sure whether it was ingrained before 1922, but it certainly was ingrained from 1922.
We're watching it become ingrained, aren't we? Yeah, with this little history. Folks, we're talking to John Lawson about Raglan history 100 years ago, when they finally gave up on the idea of having a railway, a very little one, narrow gauge, from Raglan over the Divvy. So, John, what else happened in 100 years ago?
As I was saying, there was this petition for a railway that was put forward in 1920. By 1923, the government had agreed to hold the ballot on the petition and decide whether there should be a special rate for the areas that were covered by the ballot. The problem was that the government decided that the ballot should include areas that were quite close to the existing railway and also areas that weren't going to be well served by the new railway. So areas south of Carfia Harbour were included, even though the railway was possibly going to Carfia, but there certainly was no promise of it getting there and certainly not going south of the harbour. So there were areas like that and like Nahinapuri, which were already quite close to the existing main line that runs from Auckland to Hamilton to Wellington. So they weren't at all keen on paying an extra rate when they weren't going to get much benefit out of the railway. So by fiddling the boundaries of the area that was voting, they managed to get a complete group of people onto the railway board who were against continuing with the railway. And that was a ballot in October 1923, and it took a year or two to dismantle the whole project after that. But because they had it all lined up, ready to go, and they had all the plans done and everything, but because the vote was against it, that was the end of the railway.
Mm, there you go, folks.
So earlier we were talking about why they're not very keen on supporting bus services, and we had the same sort of idea in relation to railways in those days. So, yeah.
Yeah. So was every little community in the entire country wanting a railway at that
pretty
point?
Pretty much, yes.
Because all I see now is a railway that goes the length of the country, and I guess there's ones going down the west coast, and it must go over to goes over to the east coast. But it's a pretty spindly rail network compared to what people were hoping for.
Yeah, it's about a quarter of what it was originally.
Is that right? So that there was a lot more?
Yes.
So like, where was a railway that they don't use anymore around here? Do you know all this, John?
the nearest it got to Raglan was the branch from Huntly going to Glen Afton. There was a railway out there. There's still the stub of it going as far as Rotowaro, where there's the open cast coal mine.
Yes.
So that was one of them. If you've been driving around the new deviation route, the deviation to the deviation,
yes,
you'll have gone through Glen Massey, and that had a railway going up to Glen Massey.
Oh, really?
There's still the remains of it in the centre of Glen Massey. You can walk on the old railway track there. Closer to Narawa here, they've created a walkway which heads towards the Hakarimatas,
yeah,
again following the old railway track.
Okay, all right. So clearly, yeah,
They're all over the country, and as I was saying, they now make quite good walkways, cycleways.
Yeah, and I can think of stuff in the South Island just from years ago going down there, yeah.
And the railway out to Thames is now largely a cycleway as well, going through Pairoa that way, and through Karangahake Gorge. There's the tunnel that you can go through there.
Oh, yes, you can walk through,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's railways all over the place that have been closed down and form good cycleways.
Do you think one day we might put railways back on there when the whole country comes around to say we've really got to do something about climate change?
I suspect the technology will have moved on by then and be looking at personal pods, and that we'll have a completely different transport system. But
maybe, yes.
It's hard to predict what technology is going to do and which way it's going to go. So
yeah, yeah. Do we want to talk about these other things?
Well, Papahua was one of the other major changes in 1923. As far as Raglan was concerned, it might have been insignificant to the world, but as far as Raglan was concerned, it meant that we had an accessible beach, which we've now got.
Can I read this bit? The Waikato Times reported that the board, the town board, had just acquired Papahua No. 2 block. So the word acquired, whenever you're reading historical stuff in New Zealand and they say they acquired some land, there's always a story behind it. And I guess that's what, and not a very nice story usually either, let's face it.
Yeah, this was back in 1917 that the town board decided it was going to get that area, even though it was still another couple of years before the Native Land Court even decided which hapu owned it.
Yeah.
So it was a dispute over who owned it. But then there was a report in December 1923, the Waikato Times said that they Raglan Town Board had just acquired Papahua No. 2 block, And I thought one of the interesting things was that even then it was called Tikopola. And you might remember the change that got made by the district council in 2018, was it 5 years ago, deciding that it shouldn't be called Tikopo Domain anymore, but it should be Papahua Domain.
Papahua Reserve, I think it says on the sign. Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and this is all still subject to Waitangi Tribunal claims, so there might be further developments on this in the next few years, but it was back in 1923, a century ago, that it was decided that the town board had acquired that block, and part of the deal was that they were going to build a bridge across there, because one of the problems was that the people who lived over there wanted to get their kids to school, and the only way to get their kids to school was to walk along the edge of the beach, roughly where the playground is at the moment, to catch the ferry across to the jetty at the bottom of Bow Street and then walk to the old school on Stewart Street.
Right.
And they wanted a better way of doing that, so part of the deal was to have a footbridge necessarily, but a bridge built. And in the end, it was a footbridge that was built, and that was opened in 1926. So that was... But I probably should mention that part of the story with that was that there had been talk of building a native school over at Tikopua, which was Papakainga, which existed pretty much across the stream from where the new Papakainga is being built off Wainui Road. That existed until the compulsory purchase of the airfield in 1941.
For the war.
Not just
for the war.
Those farries were swept away at that time.
Yeah.
So those people had been campaigning for a school since at least 1903, but they never got round to building that school. So that was why the kids still had to walk along and catch the ferry, which was expensive as well as inconvenient. And that was their way to school. So that was one of the factors which came into it. I suspect there was also still quite a problem with communication between Pākehā and Māori, because most people, or most Māori at that time, still had te reo as their first language. There was a case reported of somebody who'd attempted suicide, and it says that he defended himself in broken English, and... having done that, he was then found guilty.
So that was just point out that was a crime until 1961 in this country.
Yep. It does seem rather odd that when somebody's got mental health problems, you actually make it even worse by accusing them of a crime. But as you say, that was up until 1961.
So. 100 years ago, that was the way they did it, I think.
But that's just an example that there was this language problem between the two communities.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a general cultural divide as well as a language problem. So that accounts, I think, for quite a lot of what happened at that time. The settlers had really no concept of Māori language and didn't regard it as at all important. So
not in that time, in the earlier colonial period, Europeans would turn up here and learn Māori.
Yeah, that was up until the 1840s, and then
really early period,
with the increased immigration created by the New Zealand Company, that ended, and there were then settlements which spoke English and gradually extended their influence. So in Raglan was one of those settlements. So Raglan was formed in the 1850s.
That's our history.
So that's two of the important things that happened in 1923.
What else we got, John?
We've also got the change in the... I've mentioned that the roads were having trouble in actually maintaining them, and 1923 was when they changed their system of maintenance, because they then had this extra money coming from taxpayers and ratepayers to pay for the maintenance of the roads, and out went things like the horse-drawn graders and the hand-broken gravel. And in came things like big quarries and steam-powered crushers in the quarries, and using trucks rather than horses, and using excavators, steam-powered usually. So all those things came in. The county council at that time bought a whole series of areas that they turned into quarries. Some of them were existing quarries, and some of them were ones that they created as new. So I think it'd be interesting at some stage to actually identify where those quarries were, but I know where some of them are, but I don't know where all of them are.
Yeah, folks, you've got to understand, John is involved with the Raglan Ramblers, so he's rambled over a lot of the land around here. So if anyone's going to know, it would be you.
So the nearest quarry to Raglan was the one down the end of Cornwall Road, which is off Hills Road, which is off the main road, and that's still there. And still a very obvious quarry there. So that was one of the quarries that they were using at that time.
Can we talk about the traffic count in 1923?
Yeah, well, because they wanted to try and justify the money they were spending, they organised a series of traffic counts. And it was in March 1923 that they had a traffic count where they counted 11 local cars and 17 others in a day.
28 cars in a day. I can just see them thumping the table. We've got 28 cars a day. We must do something about the roads.
Yeah. indeed they did. And one of the controversial things they did was to charge Hamilton for it. They had to contribute 19% of the cost of maintaining the Raglan Road. And the mayor of Hamilton was most irate about this and said that it was only used by a comparatively few favoured citizens with motor cars. And Hamilton had not asked for the road to be improved, but many wealthy people now went to the seaside. So he was saying that Hamilton's having to pay for its few wealthy citizens with motor cars who were breaking up the road, and they were having to pay extra rates for it. So he thought that was most unfair. He was also the mayor who later spent a fortune on getting rid of Garden Place in Hamilton and excavating it and flattening it.
Oh, there was a hill there.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's a whole other story.
Yeah. And about that time, around that time, 1 in 20 people had a car, just to give you an idea. So you can imagine most people not wanting to pay a cent for anything to do with the trouble caused by cars.
But, of course, as you were saying in our discussion earlier, they weren't the people who had the influence.
So, yeah, yeah.
We have got to 10 o'clock. Should we finish at that point and maybe come back to this later, or should we carry on?
Well, no, I mean, we do need to wrap up. Is there some little story we can just mention at this point? Is it all about who's paying for the cars?
There was also the shipping at that time, so we were still getting a regular weekly ship coming in from Onehunga.
Yep.
And again, the county was asked to reduce the rates for wool going over the wharf. So the amount they charged for each bale of wool in terms of wharfage. And the county council refused and said it wasn't their problem that there was competition between the shipping and the road hauliers.
So, John, is all this info, where are you getting this from? Is there a Raglan Chronicle catalogue that you can check out, or is this in the national press?
Nearly all this is in the national press. Some of it comes from the local histories that have been written or were written by Bob Vernon.
Yeah,
they're still available in the museum and in the bookshop. I think the library's got them as well.
Is there much of an archive for the Chronicle?
Unfortunately, there's not very much until you get up to about 1940 or so. Many of the Chronicle issues are missing. The museum has got some copies, but unlike most of the other local papers around the country, they've not been put onto papers past, so they've not been digitised. And even Carfier's digitised. It's Carfier and Raglan County Chronicle.
What?
But Raglan County Chronicle hasn't been digitised. So, and unfortunately, as I say, there's large parts of it which are missing from the record.
Right. Something for you to do, John.
Virtually all this stuff comes from... There were regular reports in the Waikato Times and sometimes also in the New Zealand Herald and sometimes in the Auckland Star.
Okay.
From people in Raglan who were writing to them and sending in these reports. Most of them were reports on, we haven't even covered the sort of entertainment side and social side of things, but that it was quite... there was no television or radio.
We have in the past. We've talked about what people used to do and bands. Like Raglan's quite known for its music at the moment. It's quite a good music scene. And what was the music scene like back then? And we have done chats about that. You have to check the archive. Raglanradio.com is the website. But yeah, time for us to go. John, thank you for coming in. You're on the air tonight, I believe, at 6 o'clock.
Yes, as usual. I've not worked out what I'm doing then.
That's right. I can't claim much better. I didn't know who I was interviewing at the start of the day either. Hey, but look, thanks for coming in, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, folks, that is the end of the show for the day. Take it easy out there. Please keep putting the message out. Avoid Old Mountain Road. It's getting a bit scary up there at the moment for the people, and their kids have to walk to school and walk home again, and you know, all that sort of thing. So yeah, take it easy out there, and we'll see you tomorrow.